This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The floodwaters are receding in eastern North Carolina, but the misery continues. In Lumberton, the Lumber River has dropped below major flood stage, but as many as 1,000 people are still in shelters. Officials there estimate more than 7,000 structures were affected by the massive flooding. Among them, Robeson County schools, which are still closed. And we'll hear more about that in a bit. But first, WUNC reporter Leonita Inge takes us to Princeville, where flooding has displaced many residents from their homes. Pumps have been running 24 hours a day for the last week to get more than 75 million gallons of water out of town and back into the Tar River. Leonita Inge is with me in the studio now. Welcome back, Leonita.
Thanks, Frank.
What's the situation? You were just there. 75% of that town flooded, right?
Well, that's what they're saying. Actually, some of the town leaders got a chance to take a quick walk, I guess, across the Tar River Bridge from Tarboro to Princeville to take a look at things. And I know the photos that I've seen show water lines above their heads on their town hall. And Mayor Bobby Jones, even a few days before that, was taken by rowboat to see a few things. And he saw his home that was flooded, almost gone. But he actually said after taking a look, he actually felt a little better, if there's any good news in this, because he was pretty clear more than 80% of the homes would have to be, not just homes, all property demolished and destroyed. He says now he thinks it's about 50%, half. It's not 80%.
Well, when only half of your property, that's the good news,
that
only half of the property of town is lost forever. And the National Guard is going around and actually marking property, right? Tell us about that.
Yes, they are. They have this color coding system. They're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, Sandy Acres, the Meadows, a few of the popular ones. And, you know, if you're labeled green, you know, that means go. That means you can you're clear to re-enter your home. If you have a yellow, that means you can enter your home and collect a few items, but you cannot live there. And if you have red, they say pretty much don't even open the door. It's condemned.
This is a historic town, right? This was established by freed slaves after the Civil War and the oldest incorporated town by African Americans in the country.
And that's why Mayor Bobby Jones and others say we cannot leave this land. We know this was the swampy, dirty, low-lying land south of Tarboro, where in 1865, you know, when the Civil War ended, the slaves moved there to try to form their own community called Freedom Hill. That's what they called the place at that time. But he says, you know, the world knows about Princeville, and soon he thinks it'll be hopefully even a tourist stop and a historical site that people will come and see. He says, we just can't leave now.
But it's not the first time, and you did that this town has been damaged this severely.
It's not just Floyd. It's flooded many times over the century. And they've had to rebuild every time. And so that's the big question. I know some of our politicians don't want to go there, really. You know, you don't want to tell a community that still can't go home right now. They may go home Saturday, I hear. They may get to see their homes. But you can't tell them, you know, we're going to relocate you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, this is the whole story. And beach replenishment, the resort homes along the beach, you know, that gets replenished over and over again at state and federal expense. So this question certainly is on the minds of politicians and residents. You talked to Bobby Jones, as you said. The big question after all of that, are you going to stay here? Are you going to return? Here's what he said.
Not going to happen. We will not leave the town of Princeville. We are the oldest town chartered by blacks in America. Just that. Nobody else can say that, and that is of historic significance to not only Princeville, not only Edgecombe County, but the United States of America and the world.
Well, that's a big question. Now, how much of what he said, this is the mayor, of course, Bobby Jones of Princeville, how much of that is reflected in other residents of Princeville? Do they all feel the same way, or mostly, or how do they feel?
I guess this is probably not the best time to ask someone when they're living in a shelter going on 2 weeks. You know, some folks that I spoke with said, well, you know, my friends are there. I've lived nowhere else, you know, so I have to go back. And some others say pretty much, if I could get my hands on some higher land, if, you know, I'm out of there pretty much.
Last night, Governor McCrory appointed a team of people to work on recovery and to try to address that question of whether or not to return the people of Princeville to that plot of ground. What's happening in terms of rebuilding right now and the recovery effort in terms of how the state is approaching it?
Well, I think it's very early, and I actually believe they will not make any decisions before the election. And it's going to take a while. You know, you're going to have architects and environmentalists and a whole group of people are going to have to give their assessment before we get to that point. But we do know it's going to take a lot of state and federal dollars to rebuild Princeville.
All right. WUNC Race and Southern Culture reporter Leonita Inge. Leonita, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can find links to her reporting about Princeville at our website, stateofthings.org. We move now to a conversation about flooding in Robeson County, where schools are still closed. WUNC reporter Jess Clark has been reporting from there for the past week and joins us now. Hello, Jess.
Hi.
What's happening there?
Well, there's pretty extensive damage. The damage to the school system is well into the millions. Central services, where they have most of their central offices, were completely flooded with 5 feet of water, and they're completely destroyed. The print shop, the textbook and supply warehouse, maintenance equipment, vehicles, all completely gone. So are nearly all of the student personnel records going back decades. Those are all on paper. They're gone. I went to central offices to see what they're like. You have to wear a mask to go in because the air is literally toxic with mold and God knows what else. The water's picked up the district's diesel fuel tanks, these massive diesel fuel tanks, and spilled them. And so they're dealing with diesel cleanup. And then that's just central services. So you've also got four schools that have major damage, one elementary school completely flooded. You're not going to have students in there for a while. And then you have, in the schools that didn't sustain damage, four high schools are being used as shelters. And there's hundreds of people staying in there, and FEMA is still trying to find temporary housing.
All right, so that's just the school infrastructure itself, severely damaged, records lost. Those not damaged are being used as shelters. And then you met with Jamie Bell, who's a history teacher and the football and wrestling coach at Lumberton High School. And he talked about his concern about supporting kids even after they get back, if schools do reopen. They've been displaced, and they're still living, in many cases, in other quarters, and that's a concern for him.
Coming to school, if you don't have a home to go back to, you know, school might not be your primary, you know, thing that you want to come to, you know. So that's the big concern, is how are we going to meet those kids' needs outside of school while also trying to get them back here in school.
Jamie Bell, a history teacher, wrestling and football coach at Lumberton High School. And so that raises other questions, that school is not just a place for education for a lot of kids who live down there. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Robeson is a really poor county. You have a lot of kids that are on free and reduced lunch. And so school is like the one place that they can go that they know they're going to get breakfast and lunch, you know, at least two meals a day. So, you know, the community has really come together and is supporting families that need help. But, you know, school is not just education. It's you know, structure. It's a return to normalcy. It's a place where you know you're safe.
Yeah, and especially if all of those other support services, particularly around food, are being delivered. What's happening in the meantime? I mean, what happens if you are going in for a free breakfast and free lunch and that's disrupted? Is there any effort to replace that in shelters, or is that not part of the question?
That's being done in shelters. The Red Cross is providing meals. Community groups are coming together. I mean, you'll just see, just walking down through Robeson County, you'll see just people outside churches grilling hot dogs and hamburgers for folks. The community has really come together.
Well, luckily, no students or personnel, school personnel, were killed in this storm, but we've talked about the number of people displaced, including Charlotte McCollum and her granddaughter, who is in kindergarten. Tell us more about them.
So Charlotte McCollum, her daughter, and her granddaughter were all living in Lumbee Homes. That was an apartment complex that was completely flooded, and they had to escape on their own. They left through chest-deep waters. They put the kids and the old people and the pets on air mattresses and got them out. And now a lot of them are staying at South Robeson High School. It's just basically just across the South Carolina border. And they don't know what's next for them. And they're dealing with, Charlotte, at least, she's dealing with a lot of emotional trauma that she's very aware of. We talked about that a little bit.
I know you have a clip. Who are we going to hear from right here?
This is Charlotte McCollum.
You know, that's all I've been doing since I've been here is crying, you know, and I talked to one of them Red Cross women. She told me, she said, just let it out. She said, if you feel like you want to cry, she said, just go ahead on and cry. And like I said, I've been crying since I got here. You know, and I thought maybe I had no more water in me, but I do. You know, I'm trying not to cry, but It's just, it's sad.
Lumberton resident Charlotte McCollum staying at a shelter at South Robinson High School after her home was flooded. What do you hear down there? I mean, are people talking about getting back and kind of returning and restoring their homes?
At this point, yeah, I mean, a lot of the homes, it's unclear whether they'll be able to restore those homes. I mean, it depends on what FEMA says. So if FEMA gives them money to rebuild, they might say, you can't rebuild here. You have to go somewhere else. So, you know, and also people have lost things that can't be replaced. And some people have lost their jobs. I talked to one woman who she was working as a housekeeper. And after she missed work for a couple of days because she was homeless, her employer filled her position. So, you know, you have people that may actually leave. Some people already have left.
All right, Jess, thank you so much for talking with us. Jess Clark, WUNC Fletcher Fellow for Education Policy Reporting. And you can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. There's more of the State of Things just ahead. Stay with us.